Hey, hey, thank you guys so much for coming out. It's so good to see you all. My name's Emily, if we haven't met. Thank you for coming to CC Midweek. It's so good to see you all here. If this is your first week with us, or if you've been here, you might know, this whole month we've been talking about bold faith. So every week we got to hear from maybe different people or look into different passages of scripture about what it means for us to live boldly for Jesus. Taylor kicked off our series. She was our first week, and she told us, she reminded us that our bold faith comes from the Holy Spirit choosing to live inside of us. That it's not any strength that we come up on our own, but it's actually the Holy Spirit moving, living, and working within us. And then at Awaken, if you got to be there for our conference, Jovan spoke, and he talked about how there are a lot of voices in our life trying to get our attention. But bold faith is the decision to make God the most important voice. It's choosing to listen to him, to stand out for him, even if it means standing alone. And at Awaken, we also got to dive into Romans 8 together. And we talked about how bold faith is building the kingdom of God, that you are on mission to build the kingdom of God, not because you earned it or deserve it or because maybe you feel worthy of it, but simply because there's a God that loves you and he won't leave you. And the week after that, Jer, he talked about how bold faith isn't a quantity. It's not like you have to measure up to a certain amount of faith to do great things with God, but it's actually your faith in the great God. It's who you've placed your faith in. It's the quality of your faith, not the amount of faith you have. It's not the quantity. And last week, we talked about how we have this identity declared over our lives, that we are called ambassadors, that God chooses us to be his representatives here on earth. He chooses us to carry his message, to carry his name, and to carry his heart for the people around us. And with that, we covered a lot about bold faith. And so I was racking my brain, trying to come up with like how we should end this series, because I feel honored, but it feels like a lot of pressure, let me tell you. But today I wanted us to look into the life of someone in scripture, one of their lives, whose entire life's calling was to be bold. Like the marker of his life, if you were to sum up his life, it's like one phrase that we can remember, and it was all about being bold for God. It's about having a big call on his life, and we all do too, but this big call he could live out because his entire life's calling was simply to be bold for God. And I believe it's the same for us. That in the end, after all we've learned and all we've talked about this month, in the end, it's the same call for all of us to be bold for God. I'm going to pray before we get it started. Father, I thank you for everyone that came today. I thank you that it is your divine hand that brought us into this place. I thank you for your word, that we get to learn from it, to seek you in it, and to find truths for our lives. Would you speak to us through it? Would you speak clearly to us today, Father? Let it not be my words, but yours. Jesus, we want to live for you. We want to be bold for you. Encourage us, equip us, show us what you are calling us to, and let us walk it in it, in strength and in courage. I love you, Lord, so much. I give this time to you, Father. It's all for you. In your name, Jesus, we get to pray. Amen. So we're going to look at a man named Joshua. So if you have your Bibles, it's going to be the sixth book of the Bible in the Old Testament. He follows right after his book, Joshua, follows right after the Pentateuch. It's the first five books of the Bible. Pentateuch just means five scrolls. And so Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those are the first five books. Joshua follows right after that. And so we're going to look at his life. His life, the call on it, was to simply be strong, to be courageous, to be bold into what God was calling for him. To give us some context, though, see, Joshua was about to get this promotion. He was about to become the next leader of Israel. At this point in history, the Israelites have just been freed from Egypt. They were slaves there. The whole nation of Israel were slaves in Egypt. And by God's hand, he saved them. He moved them out of slavery into the wilderness, and it was going to be through the wilderness he was leading them into the promised land. Hundreds of years before, he made a promise to one man and said that it is through your family that a nation will be my people. A whole family becoming a nation. Like, my brain can't even wrap my mind around that. And then I ended up having a family reunion last week, and that was a nation of people that I'd never met before, and we were all family somehow. And so then I understood what he meant by this. And it was through this one man's family that he was going to make a nation of people, and he made this promise that they would have this specific land for them. And I'm sure at times they were like, where are you, God? How is that possible? How are you going to fulfill this promise? We're in slavery in Egypt. But God wasn't done yet. He was still working. And so at this point in history, he has just freed them from Egypt and was leading them into the land he had promised. He was going to make good on his word. And he was going to do it through new leadership. This whole time, Moses was the leader. He was the guy with the staff and the waters parted. He was the guy who spoke to Pharaoh and like all the frogs and the bugs came, you know, if you had the Bible stories. But he was the leader at the time of Israel. And now there was going to be new leadership. It was going to be Joshua. He was calling Joshua to take the next step, to witness God answer this promise, to see the favor of the new land. And it fell onto Joshua. I feel like at this point, to find out that the old leader is going and you are going to step up and become the new leader can be very exciting, but it probably felt very nerve-wracking, like a lot of responsibility. Have you ever felt like you had to like step up for something and it's really like you got the wrong girl, you got the wrong guy? Sometimes, if I'm going to be honest, sometimes that's how I feel when I'm preaching. Like yesterday night, I was like, God, I think you have the wrong girl. You know what I mean? There are times when we feel like there's a really big call in our life, and I put myself in Joshua's shoes, and I can't help but think, like, what were some of his worries? You know, what was he thinking? What was running through his mind when he found out that this great leader who had led them for 40 years through the wilderness was passing away, and it was now on to him? The responsibility fell on him. He was going to be the one that was leading the people. He had the responsibility. And what lay ahead for them was the land of Canaan. That's what we call the promised land today. It's Israel. At the time, it was filled with the people group called the Canaanites. And so, little backstory, you can read about them in Genesis, but it's like family generational beef, okay? The Canaanites and God's people were enemies, okay? And that's what lay ahead of them, was to go into the land of their enemies and to say, this is our land now. I think you can imagine how their response would be. You know what I mean? Probably not too happy. And I'm sure Joshua had this fear of like, what if we go in this land and we get absolutely demolished by the Canaanites? What if we go into this land and these people's culture infects our culture? See, the Canaanites, one of their practices, they had very wicked practices, is what scripture tells us. And historians affirm this by letting us know they did like human sacrifice and child sacrifice. I wonder if Joshua was at all worried, like what if his people started becoming more like the Canaanites, more like the culture around them? What if they stopped following Yahweh altogether? And so he feels like he is probably a big responsibility, some big shoes to fill. Yes, it was exciting, but it was also probably nerve-wracking, and God knew it too. The truth is, God knows his heart. He knows our hearts. When he calls his people, he knows them. He knows them intimately and deeply. He knows where Joshua was at. And so he doesn't just call him to do mighty things, but he encourages them in it. Did you know that when God is calling you to do big things, to do scary things, to stand out and be different and live for him, it can feel hard and it can feel scary, it can feel nerve-wracking. But he's our source of encouragement in it too. He not only calls, but he equips and encourages too. And this is where we pick up in Joshua 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, Yahweh said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. So Moses' second-hand guy was Joshua. This is what he says to him. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I have promised Moses. So he's telling Joshua, this is what's going to happen. It's the commission, the call. You're about to lead these people into this land, and I'm going to give it to you because it's my word, because I promised it. God's reminding Joshua that it was never about his own strength. It was never about his own leadership skills or his ability. It wasn't even about how many wars he's won in the past. It's always been about the God who is faithful to his word, who will fulfill his promise. I made this promise hundreds of years ago, and I'm going to make good on it now. You're going to get to experience. And the thing is, notice the word give. They use it twice, that God is going to give him this land. The Israelites didn't earn it. They didn't show that they were worthy of the promised land. But he gives it anyway. We're reminded of the grace of God in this. That it's always out of his grace that he gives us these things. That he gives the land to the Israelites. He goes on to say, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Can't believe I pronounced that all, you know what I'm saying? This is usually a verse that I feel like I would probably be like, don't understand, big words, moving on, boring, don't have a map, too lazy to get one, you know what I mean. But what's really important here that I want to point out is this is a direct callback to when God first made this promise. When he first made this promise to Abraham back in Genesis 15:18, if you write it in your margins or if you make note, maybe your Bible already tells you, but there's this direct reference of these exact territory lines, these exact boundaries. God fulfills his promise all the way. He's not a halfway God. It's not like, oh, you guys took too long in the wilderness. You guys went on your own path. You worshiped a calf part of the time. You only get a portion of the promised land. Like, no, he is going to fulfill the promise all the way, completely, 100%. And it's verified because in that first promise he made to Abraham, it's the same places. And so while we read these places and we feel like boring, boring, skip, it's actually really important to see that God is going to fulfill his promise all the way. Not because his people earned it or deserved it, but because he is faithful to his word. And then he goes on and says, after the commission, he goes on to encourage Joshua. And this is what he has to say. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He sees Joshua's heart. He sees how he's feeling. Would you know that God sees how you're feeling in this? The next season that feels uncertain, how you feel spread thin, like you can't make everything happen the way you want it to. How you feel like there's too much pressure and responsibility. He sees your heart. He knows how you're feeling, and he encourages you in the calling he has for your life. He says that when I am with you, nothing can stand against. For Joshua, when you enter into this land and you're afraid of the Canaanites, they will never stand against you when my presence is with you. And just as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. And it's the same for us today. Just as he was with Moses, as he was with Joshua, he's with us now. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Forsake means like abandon, to forget. God will never abandon or forget about you. It's impossible. That's not who he is. His very character is to be with us all the same, to be faithful to us. In verse 6, this is his encouragement. Just after reminding him that his presence is going to be with him, he says, be strong and courageous. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and courageous. This is like the motto that categorizes the life of Joshua. You see it all throughout his story. God reminding him time and time again, be strong and courageous. If I was going to use different words, I would say be bold. God is saying, Joshua, I know what I'm calling you to is hard, but be bold because I am with you. And notice how he says, the land I swore to your ancestors, it's a reminding of the promise again. All throughout this section, sandwiched between this call to be bold, God is saying, my presence is with you and my promises I keep because he's faithful. What we learn here in this part of Joshua's life is that the bold faith required of him, the strength and courage that's required of him to walk into the next season, is rooted in the faithful God. It's confidence in the faithful God. Our bold faith is confidence in a faithful God. It's not confidence in ourselves. He didn't say, Joshua, I see all that you can do. I know all of the tasks you can check off. I see how great of a leader you are. It was never about who Joshua was by himself. It was always about who Joshua was because God was with him. Because God was the one equipping and calling him. It was never about a power found within himself. It was never about mustering up a self-confidence. It was always about having confidence in God. The God who is faithful, who keeps his promises. And so this call for us to have a bold faith, to walk into the next season, to do the hard things and say yes even when we don't want to, requires us to have a confidence in the faithful God, which means a trust in knowing that God is who he says he is and will do what he said he'll do. He goes on to encourage Joshua in this. Be strong and very courageous. That's number two. He says it again. Be strong and very courageous. Be very bold. He says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. This word law is Torah. And we often translate it as law, and I think sometimes that trips us up. Because law, if I'm going to be honest, can feel scary and feels like, I don't want to read this, you know. Law, Torah, it can actually be translated better to our understanding, is instruction or guidance or direction. What he's saying is, so for Joshua, sorry, I'm going to try to do this. These first five books are what Joshua had. We have all the rest, but he only had those five books. And what God is reminding him is go back and read who I've always been, because I'm the same God to you now. In the same way, we get to read 66 books, not just five, we get to read 66 books, and we get to look back and see who God has always been and remind ourselves that he's the same now. And that's what he means when he says, meditate. Meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We see this connection between the boldness of faith, this strength and this courage to do the hard things, and an obedience to God. It means saying yes when things feel like it's easier to say no to. It looks like standing out for what you know God is calling you to do, even when it's easier to sit back. It looks like saying yes to God even when it feels like you're putting a target on your back or you're inviting yourself to stand alone. This boldness of faith requires us action. See, the important thing is God is the main character of our life, but it doesn't mean we just sit back and we're idle and we do nothing. We're not just spectators. We are supporters. We're partners in what he's doing. And so we have to take bold action. Bold faith, it requires obedient action. It requires us to be people, when it says meditate, this word is just remember or reflect on. It requires us reflecting on who God has always been and reaffirming in our minds that he's the same now. We reflect on what his design has been for our life. Last week, if you got to be here, I kind of talked about this idea that I love, that talking about God's design for our life. That he has a design and how he wants us to live in relationship with him. Part of his design is loving other people how he would want them to be loved. Loving him and loving others. And I believe that what he's talking about back in verse 8, to keep this book of the law of Torah, of his instructions, to meditate on it is to remember and reflect on God's design for our life. It looks like reflecting on who he's been, what he's calling us to, and reminding ourselves that he'll be the same time and time again. Joshua needed to remember that it was going to be the same God that helped them get out of Egypt, that walked them through and provided with for them in the desert, and would be the same now. Joshua's commission on his life was to be the leader of Israel, to lead them into the Canaanite country. We have a commission too. We call it the Great Commission. It's in Matthew 28, and it's the one over the lives of all believers. We are not heading into the promised land to go defeat the Canaanites. That's not the call on our life, but Jesus gives us the call on our life. I think some of us in this room might be feeling like, okay, that's great. I want to be bold. I don't even know what I'm going to be bold doing, but I'll be bold, you know? But this is exactly what Christ tells us our mission is. He makes it very clear. Would you pull up Matthew 28, 19 through 20 for me? It says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is our call on our lives. This is what we are commissioned to go out and do. While we're not heading into the promised land as the next leader, we're heading out into the nations to show who Jesus is. It's a very big responsibility, though. That same feeling that Joshua was probably feeling, the nervousness, living up, we get that feeling too. We get the fear too. You've all probably experienced moments where you felt discouraged, where you've experienced doubts, where you've been afraid of the uncertainty that lies ahead or the rejection that you could face when you stand for Christ. So yes, it is a great opportunity, but it does feel like a very big responsibility. But I want to remind you of something, of the same faithful God that we serve. The same God that said to Joshua in verse 9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, be bold, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for Yahweh, your God, will be with you wherever you go." The same God who promised Joshua, "I will be with you wherever you go, so don't be afraid, be bold," is the same God who stood with the disciples on the mountain and said, "Go and do, yes, do this hard thing. But behold, I will be with you. Surely I am with you," he says, "to the very end of the age." And it's the same God now. And what he's calling you to do. And how he's asking you to share Christ boldly to the people around you. And where he's asking you to be different than the culture and go against it for his sake. Where he's asking you to honor him with your life, or maybe you've been keeping it from him. He's saying, "Yes, I know it's hard. But surely I am with you to the very end of the age. I am the God that will not leave you nor forsake you." And so while bold faith can feel hard, I believe that God gives us these special moments. It's like he pours out his special favor and grace in our lives that we get to experience a strength and courage filling us up, genuinely. I believe that there are times where bold faith can actually feel pretty easy. That we have the feeling of strength and courage. And let me give you an example, and maybe you'll be able to relate to this. For me, it was Awaken last year. We have a conference here called the Awaken Conference. And we had been planning and preparing and praying our hearts out for this conference. We met together in groups and teams, and we prayed over the room. We prayed over the seats. I was praying every 5 minutes. I was so nervous to preach, okay? It was one of those moments again where I was like, "You got the wrong girl. It's not me. Pick someone else." Like, being so dramatic on the floor, like crying. Okay. But in that moment at Awaken, I remember sitting. I was actually like right over here, I think. And people had come up to give, to dedicate or rededicate their lives to Christ. And I remember in that moment feeling the presence of God. Have you ever been singing worship or in deep prayer or pouring your heart out and experience his grace? Or have you ever been in a conversation with someone sharing their testimony? Or have you ever been to a conference or a worship night or someone gives something to you so generously where you experience the presence of God? Have you ever experienced his tangible presence with you, like so close to you? Have you experienced his presence? That's how I felt in that moment. I remember looking around at all of these people that I had been praying for and seeing God move. And I remember thinking, "God, you are a promise keeper. Not only is your presence here, but I'm seeing you answer the prayers I'd been praying for so long. The way that you showed up." And this was the prayer I lifted into him that night. I remember praying, lifting my heart and saying, "God, I will never forget this moment. I said, God, I will never doubt that you are real. Nothing will ever convince me that you can't hear me. Nothing will ever convince me that you don't work in our lives." That was the prayer I lifted up that night. It was a prayer to say, "I feel bold. I feel encouraged. I feel strong in what I believe. That I don't care if people reject me. I don't care what people think about me. I don't care if that means I have to go against the culture or my friends or school or the people at work. I don't care what it means. I just want to follow you, Jesus." That's how that moment felt to me. Bold faith felt easy in that moment. I felt strong. I felt courageous. Maybe you felt that too. But if you're like me or if you're human at all, you've experienced moments where you don't feel so strong. And you don't feel so courageous. You've experienced moments where you've sat with God and wondered, "God, can you hear me?" See, just 6 months after this, in February, I was at school again. I remember another moment in my walk with God. And I sat by myself, and I lifted up a very different kind of prayer. And I said, "God, do you even hear me? I'll only ask this once. Just show me that you're real. Just 6 months later, that was my prayer. It felt like all the courage I had was gone. It felt like all of my strength was depleted. And it brought me back to God, saying, God, I need you to show me if you're real. See, I believe there are moments in our life where boldness and strength and courage feel easy, but in the moments where we're in a dark spot, in the moments where the circumstances feel stacked against us, and the moments where we feel like we can't experience his presence and we don't know if he's moving, it feels a lot harder to be strong, to be courageous, to be bold. But God knew that. Like I said, he knows our hearts. And he knew the day I sat on this stage, on these steps, and I prayed, God, I will never doubt you. I will never forget what you're doing here. I'll never question you again. He knew that it would be the same Emily 6 months later, praying, God, just show me. I need to know you're here. Because he knows his people's hearts. In the same way, for Joshua, he knew their hearts. And I would love to spend another hour looking through scripture because I had a lot of other passages, but I was told I can't do that. So I'm going to summarize it for you. If you go a couple chapters before this into Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 31 and 32 shows the transfer of this position where Joshua begins to start taking over and Moses is kind of giving him the space to lead. And it's about how God is preparing both of them for their next seasons, for Moses to come home to him and for Joshua to step up and lead. And one of the things he does is he provides Israel with a song of remembrance. And the reason he does this is found in Deuteronomy 31. He tells them that it's because his people are inclined to forget. He says, I know that they're going to go into the land, that they're going to get distracted to the right and to the left. They're going to get distracted by the other things going on. They're going to get distracted by the culture of the Canaanites and they're going to lose sight of my faithfulness. I know the inclinations of my people's hearts. He says, I know what my people are disposed to do. That's what he says. In the same way, God knows the inclinations of our hearts. He knows what we're naturally going to lean towards. He knows what trips us up. He knows that it was the same Emily who sat here and said, God, I'll never doubt you, that sat with him again and said, God, I need you to show me. He knows that doubts come. And so in it, what he does is very interesting. He gives them this song of remembrance. And in this song, he tells them that when they gather, that he wants them to frequently sing this song. And one, it's a reminder of where they've gone astray, where they've gone off path, where they've stopped following and being devoted and obedient, right, and taking bold action and saying yes to God. But it also is a reminder of who God has been for them. It's a song that tells them again and again who he has been for the Israelites, how he led them out of Egypt and how he brought them to where he is now, that he's the same God providing them. It's God reminding them of his faithfulness. And so it's a song that they sing to remember, to meditate on their faithful God. Some of the things that God says in this song that describes him, he says that he had found them, that he shielded them, that he cared for them, that he guarded them, that he has led them, that he was with them, that he has provided for them, and ultimately, despite their falling away, that he will not forsake them, that he has forgiven them and called them home. Do you know it's the same song that we sing now? We get to sing the same song of remembrance now, that the God that was faithful to them is faithful to us. And so if we sang it for ourselves, it would sound like God found you. He has shielded you. He's cared for you and guarded you. He has led you. He has been with you. He has provided for you. And ultimately, even after falling away, he has not forsaken you. He has forgiven you, and he has called you back to himself. We get to sing the same song of remembrance now. All we need is to remember. See, the God that I was worshiping and serving didn't change in February, right? From awaken to February, it's not that God stopped being faithful in my life. It's not that he stopped showing up in my life. It's not that he stopped working out his promises in the world. It's simply that I had forgotten who he's been. It's because the inclination of our heart is to forget. We get caught up, we get distracted, we have the doubt start to drown everything else out, and we forget. Bold faith becomes difficult The reason we don't always feel strong and courageous, bold faith becomes difficult, not because God stops being faithful, but because we have just forgotten his faithfulness. And in the same way that God gives the Israelites this song, so when they're marching into the Jordan and they probably have that anxious feeling of uncertainty, and as they're going from city to city to go and defeat the Canaanites and get their land that God is giving to them, and as they lay down for bed at night, I wonder if this is the song of remembrance they sang over their lives, remembering that it was the God that is caring for them, that has always been with them, that is with them now, that his presence goes before them, that he's fighting and it is his victory. And I wonder if it was a remembrance for them to acknowledge that it was God calling them back to him, that he has forgiven them, that he would not leave or forsake them. In the same way he gave them this song to fall back onto, to sing and remind themselves to meditate on his faithfulness, we get songs of remembrances in our life. As I sat by myself with God and I prayed that prayer, would you know, the first image that popped in my mind after I prayed was me at Awaken, was me praying that prayer. And instantly I felt like, oh, the knot in my stomach go, you know. And I said, I know I said I would never say it, but I just asked that question again. And what God did was very interesting. I don't know what prompted me to do this, but I grabbed a sheet of paper that I had near me, and I wrote, awaken. And then I wrote, I saw and felt your presence. I witnessed you answered prayers. And then after that, under that, I wrote about a prayer he had answered that week. And before I knew it, I was writing down the moments, these gracious moments that God had given me in my life, where he showed up, that he was who he says he was, and I recognized that he was doing what he said he would do. It was all the moments I had seen God be faithful in my life. And I wrote this whole page, and as I read it, I was literally meditating on the faithfulness of God in my life. It was my own song of remembrance. And I believe that it can be the same for us now, that it is the same for us now. I believe that we need to be people constantly reminding ourselves. It's not that God has forgotten you or forsaken you. It's not that he has stopped being faithful for you. It's just that we've forgotten. We just lose sight. Life gets busy, we get distracted, and we experience doubts. So we sing songs of remembrance. And I want us to be people that remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God. The way we do that, I have two practical ways. Because I believe God is calling us to be bold and courageous, to be strong in what he's calling into the next season of our lives. That there are hard things, that it doesn't always feel easy to say yes, but we say yes to God, not because of the boldness inside of us, but because of the faithfulness of the God we follow. So, to be people that constantly remind ourselves of this faithfulness so we don't forget, so our strength and our courage, our boldness is sustaining throughout our lives, we can do these things. The first one is found in his word. When we read who God is in the Bible, we see his character, who he has revealed himself to be. He tells us exactly who he was from the beginning, that he is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, that he is a God who is not leaving you or forsaking you, that he is a God who wins every battle, that it is him that victory is found, that his presence is with you. We read about this God in the Bible, and so when you read scripture, I want us to be people reading scripture, and I want us to be looking for him in it. I think often we read the Bible and the first thing we jump to is, God, what does this say about me? I want to challenge you, when you read the Bible, first ask, the first question we're asking ourselves is, what does this tell me about God? How are you seeing his character in it? Because it is then that we get to reflect and remember his faithfulness in scripture. It is then that we see his character traits that we get to recognize them in our daily lives. And that's the second thing. In your own life, we get to remember the faithfulness of God in our own lives. I challenge you this week, maybe it's on a piece of paper, or maybe it's sticky notes, maybe it's just in your head or on your notes app, but start a song of remembrance. Reflect on the ways God has shown up in your life, the things that felt really big, the things that did fill you with strength and with courage, that made you feel like being bold was easy for him. Write those things down and don't be quick to forget them. Remind yourselves that he has always been faithful, and most often we are just forgetful. The same God that spoke to Joshua, that called him into this land, into the unknown. The same God that stood with the disciples and commissioned them for the first time to go and make disciples is the same God with us now, reminding us that he doesn't leave us or forsake us, that he will be with us to the very end. And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves that our bold faith doesn't come from within us, but it comes from the faithful God we serve. He is who he says he is, and he will do what he set out to do. Let's pray. Father, you are the faithful God that we get to serve. Would we be people that often reflect, that often meditate, that remember your faithfulness in our lives? I thank you how you've showed up in each one of our lives, uniquely and personally. How we've felt and experienced your presence, how we've experienced your love or your grace or your generosity in our lives. Would we not forget these moments quickly? Would we write them down? Would we meditate on them? Would we sing them into our lives, into our hearts? Would it be the anthem of our heart over and over again in our lives? I thank you for the moments where boldness feels easy, and I ask you to strengthen and encourage us in the moments that feel difficult. Lord, I know you call us into different things, each uniquely and personally, but the ultimate call on our life is to go and make disciples, to bring people back to you, to teach them and how you have taught us. Would we be people in your word, and would we be people spreading you to those all around us? Lord, we ask for strength and courage because it's found in you. We thank you for being faithful. We thank you for never leaving or forsaking us. We thank you for showing up. We love you, Lord. We want to serve you wholly. Help us be bold and courageous for you. I love you, God. Amen.